Well, good evening. All right. Turn to Malachi. I always, not always, but lots of times over the years, especially as a missionary, I complained a little bit to God, you know, especially crossing the border, and why do I have to be so brown, Got into a lot of trouble, just because coming across and they think I'm a Mexican. So they gave me trouble trying to come back into the States. And then going over there, the Mexicans think I'm not Mexican enough, so they gave me trouble. But, on October the 14th, my brown skin came in handy. They took them white boys right out. That was good. That was good. I love my coworkers. They didn't turn me in either. When Michael was down there, at the offices, he forgot to take his permit out of his car. So they're asking for his permit. So Michael, he's calling on his cell phone to Terry, and so they're talking whatever. And Terry says, "John, Michael wants to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." So I'm on the cell phone, after all this happened. And Michael says, "John, I need my paperwork. It's in my van. I need you to go get it." I said, "Okay, I'll go get it." And he goes, but don't you come down here and give it to me." And I said, "Okay." And he goes, "Do you understand me?" I said, "Yes, I understand you." Basically, if I went down there, I was going to get in the can too. That's good coworkers. They want to keep me safe. I want to talk to you a little bit about change tonight. It's funny. You come up here and, Brother Lindell's taking some pictures to put in more photo albums over there. I have to get another table for all those photo albums over back there. But, you go back there and you start looking at those photo albums and I start looking at me a long time ago and I've changed a little bit. I honestly think, Brother Lindell, I've gotten shorter. I know I have, I seem to be a little bit thinner back in there. It's got to be I'm getting shorter. But, I was thinking about that, change is a funny thing. Things just never stay the same. You got people coming and going. You look at those albums and, it brings a smile to your face to see, the same people in there. And they're here now, some a little bit shorter, some a little taller. But you see other faces are not around, and that's a little sad. And I started thinking about our God, and it says here in Malachi chapter 3. I've been thinking about this because no matter what happens, Malachi chapter 3. In verse 6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Amen. I like security. A few years back, when the gas was always like a dollar, did you ever think about not going anywhere? I never thought about not going anywhere. You want to go to Corpus, you get in your car and you go. Gas was like, it wasn't even a topic. Who cares? Fill it up. $7 and you're there. Security is good. I was reading today about this bank that's going under, that Bear Stearns. I was reading this guy has like 9.6% or whatever, or he had shares in there, and he was a year ago he was worth $1.7 billion. And he lost it. $2 a share now. The good news is since it's $2 a share, who cares if you lose it all now? $2? But could you imagine those people a month ago, 5 months ago, all that money, all that security, and 1 minute to the other, boom. Hope nobody had stock in that bank. I feel sorry for you. Oh, well. Maybe the Lord will do something there, right? But you know, I mean, you get gas prices, you get stock market, you get all this stuff. And it's going to change. You know? I mean, a couple of young people getting married. You know, not too long ago, these guys were just little bitty things. You know, people are going to get married. People are going to start having kids. Nothing stays the same. I mean, it just seemed like yesterday, you know, I had a little one. You know? I mean, change all the time. But you know, this one thing is comforting, is God does not change. It don't matter. I mean, it's consistent. You know, when all this happened last year, I mean, it was tough. Things just changed really fast, just on a dime. Everything was just, I mean, it wasn't supposed to be that way in my mind. And then all of a sudden, it was just totally upside down. And then, you know, we're sitting there on Sunday when it happened and, you know, watching the Dallas Cowboys play. And I'm thinking Bill's going to be knocking on that door any minute now. We're just going to have just a laugh. You know, it didn't happen. And then days went by, and then he's in Texas. And then we're there alone. Man, you talk about change. But you know, God is faithful. You know, I like this pulpit. I like this. This is nice mesquite. Very nice. Very nice. I'm sorry?
Troy made it.
Yeah. Troy made it. Look, if you would, in Ephesians 5. You know, as I think about the character of God and how He doesn't change, I mean, His plan is the same throughout all these years. I think when God started this work right here, I think God had a plan. And it is just an amazing thing. If you have time sometime this week, I want you to go back. We put together an album of all the Mexican churches down there and the pastors and the people. I mean, you go through it and you look at that and you're thinking, and believe me, these aren't just people we just start taking pictures of. These are actual people. Actual churches. I mean, Bill, Brent, Mike, Joe, all those years ago, what a blessing it is to just come right in and to be a part of this. And a lot of you folks here, given to these works, to us, to preach down there, and to start these churches, that is the fruit of all your faithfulness. I mean, lots of things have changed from the time this thing got started. But one thing that hasn't changed is God is still working in the lives of people.
Amen.
Still saving souls. Still doing the work. Man, I'm just so happy to be just a little part in what God's trying to do. Amen. You know, and as I think about God's character and about how God is, how He never changes, another thought came into my mind in Ephesians 5, verse 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." Be ye followers of God. You know what God expects of me and you? To be like Him. To be like Him. You know, we need to be, it says over there in Leviticus that we need to sanctify ourselves and be holy. Because He's holy. You know, and I really believe that it is not impossible for us to be more and more like God our Savior. I really don't. Otherwise He never would have said it. If He said for us to be holy, to sanctify ourselves, then it can be done. Day after day after day. You know what the key is? Just keep on going. Just keep on going. I mean, that's exactly what God's doing, isn't He? From the time He started this thing, from the time He started the world, from the time He had this in his mind to do, He just kept on going. And you're talking about a lot of disappointments. I mean, I'm just talking about reading the Bible. There's a lot of disappointments in this book. So you would think, you know, I mean, lots of times he could have just ended this thing. And he didn't do it. You know, I think God still has something for us to do here in our church. In fact, I know he does. He called a couple more people out. You know, I don't think God's done with us. And I know God's not done with the churches in Mexico. You know, after this new group, after a couple guys that were sent out to work there, a brother from Aguascalientes, a brother from Juan Bosco León, and a brother from Irapuato got together and they started to work in Colima. I called him up a few weeks after this brother from Irapuato got there. He was the first one there, and his partners were going to meet up with him in about a month or two. And he was so excited. He said, oh, actually, no, I didn't call him up. He called me up. You know, he called me up and he said, brother, I just want to tell you, I got like six studies. I said, I got people meeting with us. They were just barely there. Oh, I was so envious. I was happy for him, you know. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. I was like, why can't that be me? That we're just struggling here in Toluca. But you know what? I try to be real happy for him. And they were just so excited. We just barely had a men's conference, and they stood up, and I mean, they're just doing so well, working together from three different parts of Mexico, from three different churches. You know, as I think about our God, he says, be ye therefore followers. You know, we get sidetracked so quick. And God just keeps on going.
Amen.
You know, I think about how hard it is, or just thinking about God just keeping all this together. I'm talking about just the world. You know, you turn on the news or you read something on the internet, and it's like crazy. But you know, God's control. Even though we don't know what's going on or how it's going to work out, and all these people fighting and blowing up and killing each other and chopping their heads off and just all this crazy stuff, we can just sit back and say, it's okay. God is in control.
Amen.
There is actually security for the Christian, even in the midst of all the terrible news. God is in control and he's going to get it done. And you know, if we are looking for the Lord's return, we know all these things are going to have to happen. I mean, I'm looking for his return.
Amen.
You know, and I started thinking about how tough his work is, and yet he keeps going. You know why he keeps going? I think he wants to save more people.
Amen. That's right.
What other reason?
Yeah.
He wants to keep saving more people.
Amen.
I started thinking about also, God doesn't get the appreciation that he deserves. You know, you read in the Bible how God took the children of Israel from Egypt, from slavery, and you would think they would just all be just rejoicing and thanking him forever.
Yeah.
And yet a short time passes, and they think, man, what about them onions back there? I mean, give me a break. Onions? I mean, a hamburger maybe, but onions? But that's exactly how we are. You know, how much has God done for us?
Amen.
You know? I mean, how he's kept our children together. How he's kept most of us here. Even the people who have gone and are no longer with us for whatever stupid reason. That's basically what it was. Stupid. Just stupid. It's at least it's a little consolation to me when I hear they're going on somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know? They might, you know, hopefully they might have already thought about this in their heads and, you know what, I messed up, but for whatever reason I can't go back. But I'm going to go on for the Lord and, you know, praise God.
Amen.
But, you know, I start thinking about how much we don't appreciate God in every single thing that he does for us. I mean, he kept us safe and we're sitting in here tonight. Did anybody thank God for getting us here tonight? I mean, when you parked your car, you say, you know, thank you, Lord, for getting me here. How many people died tonight in a car wreck? You know how fast car wrecks happen? Extremely fast. When you're not even expecting it. Bad news. And yet God brought us here tonight. I mean, He's not appreciated most of the time. I mean, when things go in our way, you know, when things are going good, oh, thank you, Lord. And that's maybe. But surely not when things are going bad. You know, and I started thinking also, not only about appreciation, but what about the fellowship we're supposed to have with Christ? You know? The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Talk to God all the time. And lots of times, I got to admit, that's hard to do. It's just hard to do. Just forget. There's no excuse. I mean, I can't go a day without talking to my wife. I mean, seriously? I mean, get up in the morning and not acknowledge she's there? But how many times have we done that with God? Not even acknowledge that He's given us another day. You know, I think about there in the Bible when Jesus was helping all that multitude out, and because he says a couple of hard things, they decide to leave. And Jesus turns around, His apostles is right, and He says, are you guys going too? And they had a good answer. Where are we going to go, man? He's got the words of life. I mean, they had it right. Where else are we going to go? I mean, we are right here. And of course, we know they messed up later on. But still, they had a good attitude then. They had a good thought then. You know, also think about how much we let them down. And God keeps going. You know? You think about Peter. What a disappointment. Christ, right there, at a time where Peter should have said, and he said it before, I'll die. And he denied him. How many times have we denied him? And I'm talking about just a little bit embarrassed to say that we're a Christian. You know? You know, I really have no problem witnessing to people. I really don't. Until it comes to somebody who's upper class. I don't know. My mind starts racing. You know? When the suits come out, you know, they're in Toluca and they want to shut us up. I'm just thinking, Bill's real good with him. It's hilarious watching him. Bill's real good with him. Bill, I mean, he might be intimidated. I don't know, but he doesn't look like he's intimidated. I mean, he just goes and talks to him, and by the time you know it, they've left and they have no idea what happened. It didn't work on the 14th, but oh well. Win some, you lose some. But you know, when it comes to people, it's like I'm just out of my, I don't know, spot, or I don't know how you say it. And then I start thinking, well, you know, maybe I'm not going to say anything, or maybe, and I just, you know, my mind just starts going, and you know what, that's just of the devil. You know, these people are just people, I mean, they bleed just like me. You know, who cares if they're more powerful or richer or they think they're better? Who cares? Amen. When it all comes down to it, they're going to die and go to hell if you don't talk to them.
That's right.
And that's just another little tool that we let ourselves get hooked into. But yet, I mean, you just talk about, you know, letting Christ down. And yet He keeps on going. You know, He gives us another opportunity. How many times have I been embarrassed? And then I have to repent. Say, you know what? I'm really sorry. I'm just sorry. I don't want to do that again. And I do it again. And then I go back and I say, I'm sorry. And our God, it's okay. Come on. He just keeps going. You know, what about the warnings? the exhortation that God has for us in the Bible. You know, it's a sad story when we read about that one rich young man who came in and he asked Christ what he had to do to be saved. What good works do I need to do? So Christ tells him, so that's what you want? Fine. You have to do this, 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 this. He says, I've done that. Okay, one more thing. Is that what you got? And he went away sad. You know, I've always thought, what if that guy would have just turned around and said, you know what? I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't get saved by works. I'm thinking Christ would have said, then just believe in me.
Yeah, that's right.
Just believe in me. I've done it all. I can save you. You know, but sometimes we get exhorted here from this pulpit. Sometimes we get rebuked from this pulpit. And we know it's true. We know what they're telling us. Sometimes the godly people from this church go to somebody who is in trouble and they tell them, you need to take care of this. And they don't listen. And they keep on in their own sin. And yet God, He keeps going. You know, I came up with a couple of reasons tonight why we should keep going. And when you think about it, it really isn't anything profound, nothing new. But when you think about God and His character, God, He just keeps going in spite of all this. Because God sees the bigger picture. You know, He's got something worth going on for. And I don't understand it. A person, as wicked as we are, as unfaithful as we are, and God says, I got somebody else to save. You know why we should keep going? It's the right thing to do.
Amen.
It's just the right thing to do. Now, have you forgotten where you were before He got saved? It's just the wrong attitude, the wrong thing to do to think, you know what? We can't do no more. You know, it says over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, it says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory for, have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Necessity is laid upon me. You know, it's just the right thing to do. You know, this is a divine call. I mean, this burden that God has, and He gave it to us, and He says, you know what? This is the right thing for you. You need, your life should be lived in such a way that you dedicate everything that you are to this work, to living for Christ. You know, I don't understand people when I talk to them and one of the first things that comes out of their mouth and they say, yeah, but you guys can't do this. Or you guys can't do this other. Or they prohibit from you doing this. I'm thinking, you know, that's just crazy talk. No one's ever prohibited me from doing anything. You know, really, no one has. I could do anything I want. But you know what? I want to do anything I want.
Amen.
Why? Because Christ is my Savior.
Amen.
Why would I want to bring shame to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't want to do it. I don't want to continue. That life that I had before, I don't even want to remember it.
Amen.
And that's kind of hard not to do.
Sure.
But you know, God's in the business of saving souls.
Amen.
Necessity. I mean, just our conscience should be, we should be just compelled to go out and do as much as we possibly can. Because it's the right thing to do.
Amen.
We got saved. I mean, we are debtors to this salvation. What a great salvation we do have.
Amen.
You know, He trusted. He's committed this gospel to us to take it. Who can deny? I mean, seriously, this work that God has given us. We need to keep going because it's the right thing to do. And secondly, because we can keep going. Amen. You know what it says there in Isaiah 40, 28? It says, "Thou hast not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." It says in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? You know, I don't think God would give us a burden it's too hard to carry. I mean, I'm getting a new coworker down there in Toluca, you know, and that's good news for us, you know. And when I think about it, thinking, you know, how's God going to do it? Well, God's going to do it. If He called Stephen, He's going to do it. Do you think maybe it's going to be a little bit harder for you guys back home? Yeah, God's going to ask a little bit more from you. It's true. God, when Steve stood up and when Steve Dalross stood up, you know what God told this church? I'm going to ask for you to do a little bit more. You say, we can't do it. This burden is too heavy. God wouldn't be God if He gave you a burden that was too heavy to carry.
That's true.
The reason why He called and the reason why He put this church here is because He thinks we can do it.
Amen.
We can do it.
That's right. Amen.
You know, it says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
Amen.
And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, we should keep going because it's the right thing to do. And we got to keep going because we can do it. We can do all things in Christ. What a verse, man. All things. God's asking a little bit more, no problem. Why? I believe God's in it. I really do. I know there's probably lots of churches that think they have God, and God's not there. But I think God's here.
Amen.
I think God is just to look and just to be around the churches down there and these men who do a much better job than I could ever dream of doing. I know God's in it. And these guys some of these guys have gone through hard times. And they're still going. Well, you know, I tend to believe they're still going because that's how God is.
Yeah.
He's still going. But one more thing. I think we should keep on going because all of us count on God, don't we? I count on God. You know, I count on Him to help me have a good marriage, help me be a better father. Help me be a better pastor. Help me be a better person. I look to God. I mean, I count on God. If God doesn't exist or God's not in my life, what's the point? What is the point? Living? Just to get things? Just to be here? I don't see the point. I have a much better time living in this world knowing that God's with me. That God's there helping me every step of the way. That I know I am in the will of God. Well, I think people are counting on us. I think we ought to keep going because people count on us. I know I count on this church. I count on you guys staying here. I count on you guys praying for us. I know that you guys have been praying for us. Man, I can't even explain to you what we went through a month after this happened And we had to pack up these two families, and they drove off. Man, that's when it hit me. You know, but God's good. He hasn't changed. I mean, He was right there with us through the whole thing. You know, I really miss Bill and Michael. I really do. They're kind of fun to work with. A little strange. But they're fun to work with. And things will never be the same again. But you know, God's faithful. I think God knows what He's doing. And I'm glad God didn't ask me what to do. I don't have any answers. But I know God's going to use Bill and Michael wherever they are. I know God's going to use them right here. And if God wants them here, He's going to keep them here. And we're down there. And God's with us too. God doesn't change. Just because He mixed us up a little bit doesn't mean He favors one over the other. He's got a plan. And it's so comforting. We can truly rest in that security that knows that even though we might not know what's going to happen next month, God is in control. But you know, people are counting on this church. It says there in Romans 10:14 and 15, it says, "How then shall they call on Him?" These are sobering words. "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Well, you know, I think people are counting on us. We've received so much blessing. I think about, and these guys down there in Mexico, and I'm sure Joe can express the same things probably down there with the brothers down there in Poland. But these guys really look to this church and they think, man, they send you guys out here? You know, you guys are living out here. You guys are preaching out here instead of being back over there. You know, and they want to know exactly what makes you guys click. You know? And they really enjoy when Brother Lindo goes down there, you know, and they get to see him and talk to him. And when the young people go down there, I think they really enjoy that. You know, to know that there's a church in Texas who, you know, you guys don't have any ulterior motives. I mean, what do you want? You want them to come over here and cut your grass? That's why you did this. I mean, seriously. You haven't asked a thing. You're being obedient. And I didn't say that to menospreciar, to talk down, belittle the Mexicans. I'm Mexican. Just got my dual citizenship. So I can say these things because I'm Mexican. But seriously, never asked a thing. I've never asked anything from them. Why? Because nothing was asked of me. They gave me the gospel free.
Amen.
And what a gift.
Amen.
We are debtors.
Hallelujah.
You know, I think there's families that count on us. I think there's families in this church that look to the older families, the older couples, and they're counting on you guys to stick together.
Amen.
They're counting on you guys to continue. I count on Brother Lindell to continue. And Sister Verleen to continue. And I'm glad you're sending out that for women only. I read that. I got to admit. I wish you would put for women. But that only gets me every time. I see that in the inbox. I'm thinking, only? Click. I'm sure lots of you guys read it too. It's good stuff. I like it. But you know, a lot of people, I think the youth here are counting on us. I mean, praise God for a place to come.
Yeah,
and I know sometimes, you know, we got to drag these kids here. That's all right. I told Lord, it doesn't matter. I'll drag you there.
Amen.
You know? As long as you're with me, you're going to go.
Amen.
And hopefully she learned something and loves this and loves the Lord. And I got 18 years to do it. 25, maybe. 30. But you know, there's people counting on us. That's why we've got to keep going. Our work's not done, obviously. God calls somebody else, we got to do it. But this is the nature of God. Security. God just keeps going. You know, we can do this. We can continue another year. I think so. I'm hoping by this time next year we can have more good news about what God's doing.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes.
We need to do it. We need to keep going because it's right. We need to keep going because we can do it. And I think we need to keep going, brothers, because people are counting on us. God has given us this thing freely, and He says, now you got to do the work, and you got to preach the gospel to all the world. You're thinking, all the world? How is that possible? I don't know. But you know what? Specifically, I think God has given us San Antonio, because this is where we're at. Specifically, I think God has given us Mexico. Go down and look at that album. Specifically, I think God has given us Poland. God has given us some places, and we've actually seen fruit. We've actually seen God work. He hasn't changed. And we're doing the same thing, I believe, what He asked us to do. People are counting on us. We need to get out there and do it. Amen?
Amen.